announcement. Those who are already here have already heard it, but I want those online to be able to hear it too. Luann is going to do a women's Bible study starting on September the 13th. It's going to be Tuesday mornings, and starting September 13th through October 25th at 10 o'clock here at the church, a women's Bible study. It's going to be a book study on Take Courage is the name of the book. Jennifer Rothschild is the author. And if you are interested in that, the book cost is $20. But if you can't pay that, talk to us, and we don't want that to be cost prohibitive. So it's back. It's good to be back today. And we're going to kind of keep this. Luann and Don are going to be back and maybe preaching a couple Sundays a month. But it's good to be back today. And so, Father, we bless you. And, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would inhabit your word as it's read, as it's played, as it's sung. We welcome you here, Spirit of God. Come and breathe on your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
in on the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Jesus, you're so beautiful, and you're so good, and you're so gracious, and you're so kind. Thank you for your word. Paul writes, you are the image of the invisible God, the firstborn above all creation. For by you and for you, things were made, things created in heaven and on earth. And Lord, you're beautiful. You are absolutely beautiful. And you are worthy. And you are holy. And you are gracious. And you are kind. And we bless you and we honor you, God. I thank you, Jesus, that I'm able to come today. I thank you, Jesus, for your healing. Lord, I thank you for these saints, Lord, that have so generously, Lord, just been so generous to me with just gifts and patience and time. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. That's what your word says. And Lord, I just thank you. It's all from you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for healing. Thank you for continued healing. Lord, I thank you for Judy Hicks and her testimony. Lord, just your healing that she is seeing in her body. And Lord, we just say yes and amen. And we continue to pray for her, Lord. Complete and total restoration for Judy. Lord, we pray complete and total restoration for Pam Pereira. Lord, that you would bless your daughter, that you would heal her, that you would bless her. We pray healing, God, for Bonnie Williams. Jesus, we bless her in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for Mary Cruz, who's in the hospital, who's really weak and just, she's suffering right now. And Lord, we just speak peace over Mary. Mind, body, soul, and spirit. Peace, shalom, come. We pray strength for her body. Pray, Lord, your joy would be her strength. Holy Spirit, that you would come and you would just minister hope. Encouragement, life to Mary in Jesus' name. We pray for Carol Hill, God, and her ankle. We pray healing and restoration there. Lord, I know that there are people here, I won't name names, but pain, lots of pain in their body, joints and shoulders and knees and hips. And Lord, I just pray healing in Jesus' name for all that are hurting. Command pain to go in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. By your wounds, we are healed. Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of your sins, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I speak that word, Lord, over your people today in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for Nolan, and we thank you, God, that nothing is too difficult for you. That promise is in the context of salvation and praying for those that it's like, can that person be saved? Yeah. With God, all things are possible. So we speak life over Nolan, breaking of addiction in Jesus' name, eyes to see Jesus, life over him, encouragement over him, salvation over Nolan. Open his eyes that he may see your beauty, God, that he would turn to you. You love him so much. I pray, Lord, just we pray love would just be poured out upon him, that he would know your love surpasses all of just knowledge. Lord, bless him. Speak comfort over him. Healing of his heart. Healing of his heart. All those, Lord, that we know and love, that need salvation, that don't know you, that have drifted away from you. Father, we ask you to open their eyes and that they will come to saving knowledge of you. We pray grace upon them, that it would be your kindness that would lead them to repentance. Bless them, Jesus. We love you and we honor you. There is no one like you. You are beautiful. Thank you for the honor and the privilege. deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for these tithes, these gifts, and these offerings. We offer it up as worship unto you. Lord, you're worthy. You're worthy of it all. And we lift it to you. I pray you bless the givers and you bless this offering for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing the Gloria Patri. Page 117 in the blue hymnal. Page 117. His name is... is our text today. I was reading that in my quiet time several weeks ago. And in that psalm, there's a famous verse. If you've probably heard of it. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That is in that psalm. And most of us, you may have heard that. And what happens with a lot of the psalms, and even some, and I'm going to mention it in a minute, some what I call the famous quotes in the New Testament, we hear them and we get a plaque, we put them on our wall, but we forget their context. And as I read Psalm 37 and let it just kind of sink in, I read it, as you all know, for in my devotions, I read a psalm, one psalm, for a week. That's my quiet time. And as I was meditating on that, and looking at the psalm, I was like, that is incredibly profound, the context that is written in. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I want you to think about, most of you have heard, I think it's Philippians 4:13. Yes. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We've heard that, haven't we? I grew up, I was in high school in the 1980s. That's when having all these Christian t-shirts was kind of the fad. And I was an athlete, and you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can go out and run that mile, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we read that and we claim that. I can do all things, I can do it through Christ who strengthens me. I encourage you to look at the context of that. If you read the context, you may not like it so much. Paul is writing, it's near the end of his letter. Paul is writing in that, and he says, I've learned to be content in every situation. I've been brought low, I've had much, and I've had nothing. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the context of that verse. When we're suffering, when we're poor, when we've got nothing, that's the context of that. I can do this, Jesus. I can't do it, but your grace is sufficient. I can do all things when I'm brought low, when I have nothing, when I'm depressed, when I'm discouraged. Lord Jesus, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Changes, doesn't it, when we look at the context of these passages of Scripture. So I want to do that with Psalm 37 this morning, because it's incredibly relevant, I think, where we are as a nation coming out of COVID and kind of this weird, we're just in this weird thing right now is in our nation. It's just in our denomination. We're in this transition, and it feels uncertain, and it feels kind of weird, and we get really angry. I haven't been able to drive. That's the last thing that's kind of come online for me. Well, not the last thing, but I drove too early on, and man, it kind of wiped me out for a week. But slowly been starting to drive again, and you can tell a whole lot, and we've got the fair going on, but with just the fair, outside of the fair, but when you drive, y'all noticed how grumpy and cranky people are? Whoa. There's this angst, anger, and you can just kind of feel it. Psalm 37 speaks about that. So, think about it. Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. What context is that in? We're going to read it, and then we're going to unpack it. Holy Spirit, this is your word. You are our teacher. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Anoint me. Give me the words to say to fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. And I pray, Lord, you would come and you would teach us. We would have eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to respond. In Jesus' name. Hear the word of the Lord. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine, they have abundance. But the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. The wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. Turn away from evil and do good. So shall you dwell forever, for the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. The Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned when he's brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. I have seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree. But he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. Mark the blameless, behold the upright, for there is a future for the man of peace. The transgressors shall altogether be destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. I'm going to repeat that. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. You see a theme? Did you hear it as I read that? There is a contrast in that psalm, isn't there? Between the righteous and the wicked. And this psalm literature, and it's more than literature, it's the very word of God. This is inspired, this is beautiful, because it takes every letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the whole thing, Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, Hey, all the way through, and it has, for two verses, it uses the same letter to start. Aleph, 1 and 2. Verses 3 and 4, second letter, Beth. And it repeats it. And so if you were to hear this in Hebrew, there's a beautiful cadence and there's a beautiful poetry. It's absolutely brilliant as you just look at the psalm itself. It's absolutely breathtakingly gorgeous. If you have any doubt that the Bible is the inspired word of God, I mean, who comes up with something like that? You've got to be a poet extraordinaire. And it's absolutely gorgeous. So there's that. But then more importantly even than that is the truth that is in this psalm, that you have the wicked. And we've seen that. That's not new. All throughout history, all of us can name, you know, the wicked rulers going back to, you know, first century, slaughtering Christians under Caligula, and, you know, all through history, 20th century, Hitler, Mussolini, and all the way, you know, and the murder of Christians that just goes on and on and on and on and on throughout history. Christians being martyred today. Wicked men and women. And the exhortation in this psalm, and I'm just going to spend time in the first 9 verses, because the first 9 verses, they're commands. It's commands. Let's just look at what the commands are in this psalm. Fret not. Do not fret. Verse 1. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land. Befriend faithfulness. Verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. Verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. Verse 7. Be still before the Lord. Wait for him. Do not fret. Verse 8. Refrain from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. Which one of those commands is repeated more than once? Do not fret. Do not fret. Do not fret. Some of us have a master's, PhD, in fretting and worrying. That's just what we do. And as I was looking at this word, fret, it's a very interesting little word. It has a very close correlation to anger. My mother, I think she got it from my grandmother, because I remember my mother and my grandmother, my mom would say, April, quit stewing. Quit stewing. You're stewing over that. Quit it. Quit stewing. And that is a really good metaphor for this word fret, because it's a word that means to, it means to kind of smolder. It's a slow boil of anger. And that's what happens when we fret. We start stewing on something. We start stewing on it. And then we start getting agitated. And then we start getting angry. And then we just get mad. But it starts with fretting. And as you look back over the last 2.5 years of what has gone on, if you've been watching TV, I turned it off. I hope you do too. Turn it off. Because all of it, the news, what is it wanting you to do? Stirring you up. Making you angry. Keeps throwing stuff in your face. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. We get mad and we get hostile. No wonder. No wonder we're a divided nation right now. When you have 24/7 spewing anger, anger, fret, anger, anger, anger. What's the fruit of it? Is there any good fruit that comes out of that? Any good fruit? What's the fruit of the Spirit again? What's number one? times there is no law. If what you are listening to, if what you are putting in your mind is making you stew, is making you fret, what's the fruit of that? If it is not the fruit of the Spirit, that is from hell. It's from hell. Do not fret. Three different times. And this whole psalm is contrasting the wicked and the righteous. The wicked and the righteous. And David is assuring us, he's assuring us that delight yourself in the Lord, saints. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Don't fret. It only leads to evil. What would David know about wicked men? What would David know about that? When you think about the life of David, was his life easy when Samuel anointed him as king? Was his life all rosy? Was right after him being anointed as king, did he go straight into the palace and live a life of luxury and had just, you know, beautiful robes? Is that what happened to David? No. King Saul hated him. King Saul was chasing after him. King Saul was out to get him. David is hiding in caves. Hiding. Sleeping on rocks. And yet he's singing songs. Diamonds in the dark. And he's looking. And he's remembering God's promises to him. In the midst of hatred. In the midst of trial. David keeps his eyes on the promise. And this song is a message to all of us. Don't fret. What's it say? Fretting accomplishes a little bit. Fretting is going to, there's going to be fruit in the end of that. Fretting, do not fret. It only leads to evil. If you're fretting and you're stewing, you're agitated, it's not going to be a straight line. It's going to go up and up and up and up and up and up and up. Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, think on such things. Our nation doesn't need to see people that are grumpy, that are agitated, that are stirred up, that are just angry. They need to see people that are in love with Jesus. They need to see people that are completely enraptured with who he is. Delight yourself, David said. Delight yourself in the Lord. What is it you delight in? I think a lot of us, that's been stolen the last 2.5 years. We haven't had a whole lot to delight in, all the things that we used to do that our hobbies were taken away. And I would exhort you today, let's really take, delight yourself in the Lord. And ask the Lord, what does that look like for you? Delight yourself in him. What does that look like? Does that look like going out in nature and just looking and his glory is revealed in creation? Delight yourself in him. Does that mean just turning off the news and turning on worship music? One of the things, and this has been a good thing, because sleep has been elusive to me for several years. And sorry, I thought I turned my ringers off. Evidently I didn't. Is that me? Sleep has been elusive to me. And one good thing that's happened since surgery, and y'all, it makes me feel like a really old lady, and I don't want to offend anybody by saying that. I've been going to bed at 9 o'clock. I've been going to bed at 9. Yeah. And trying to get into a better, they call it sleep hygiene. I've been reading articles on sleep hygiene. And so I've eaten dinner earlier, and I'm turning everything off. And I used to do this, and I've just gotten into really bad habits. And I just get my journal and my Bible and worship music before I go to bed to center my mind on Jesus before I go to sleep. And that's been so helpful and so beautiful. I used to, and I got into bad habits during COVID. I took my phone to bed with me because I would wake up like every hour and I'd grab my phone, look at the phone. They say the blue light's horrible and all that. And they call it also doom scrolling. You know, I would start, you know, scrolling, what's happening? Oh, you know, and the Lord was very clear when I came home, when I came back from Little Rock, don't take your phone to bed with you anymore. Don't do it. And so I leave my phone in my office at home, and I go to bed, and I wake up in the night. That's still, I'm getting better. Lord Jesus, help my sleep. But when I wake up, like, Jesus, and I'll just start thinking about Jesus. And one scripture that he's been, just keeps bringing to mind, Colossians chapter 1. So I'm doing it before I go to bed, wake up in the night, and this is scripture. I want to read it so I don't get it wrong. Colossians, and just meditating on this. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority, all things were created through him and for him. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might have the supremacy. Whoa. I'll get up, wake up sometimes at 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 30. Wake up. Jesus, you're the image of the invisible God. You're the firstborn above all creation. I want to see you more, Jesus. And instead of fretting, I'm not going to be able to sleep. I'm going to feel horrible tomorrow. Nope. Jesus, I'm going to look to you. I'm going to fix my eyes on you. I'm not going to look to the right or the left. People are going crazy right now. Our nation's going crazy right now. What's going to happen to our nation? What's going to happen to our young people? Jesus, Jesus, you're the image of the invisible God, the firstborn above all creation. Psalm 37 assures us the righteous are but a vapor, or the wicked are but a vapor. They're but a vapor. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. It's in the law, it's in Deuteronomy. Paul repeats that in Romans. Revelation is all about that. The book of Revelation is about the triumph of Jesus Christ, that he rules and reigns, and he's coming back. He's coming back for a bride that's made herself ready. But Jesus said, wow, when I come, will the Son of Man find faith on the earth? We have to guard our hearts right now. We have to guard our hearts, saints. What are you stewing about? What are you fretting about? What are you worried about? It's only going to lead to evil. That's it. This psalm repeats it. Psalm 2, the Lord sits in heaven and he laughs because he knows what is to come. He's got all things under his feet, and he's coming back for a bride that has made herself ready, and you are his bride. How can we make ourselves ready? We need to tend to the garden of our heart. One of the fun things that I planted some sunflowers before I went to Little Rock. And I also, Danny and Janet brought me some tomatoes, and I planted a zucchini plant and a cucumber plant. And for the first time as an adult, I've got little cucumbers. I'm eating my own zucchini and my own little tomatoes. So fun. But I have to tend that. I have to tend it. Or the weeds come in and choke it all out. Saints, don't fret. It only leads to evil. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in him. And he will give you the desires of your heart. Father, I pray. We don't even know what that means. For so many of us, we don't know what it looks like to delight ourselves in you. And Lord, we come to you this morning. And if we're honest, our hearts are very weedy. Our hearts might even be stony. But I thank you that you are the one that softens even the hardest of hearts. And so that last night. He just kept repeating that to me in my spirit last night. I want you to want me. I want you to want me. I want you to want me. What is it that you desire about the Lord? That is the need in your heart. So Lord, we ask you, we give you permission to come and search us out. Lord, I thank you for the promise in Psalm 37 that the righteous are going to triumph over the wicked, that the wicked are going to be destroyed. All of the promises, Lord, all of the commands to trust in you, to do not fret, to befriend faithfulness, to delight ourselves in you. Lord, I pray that you would put that in our hearts, that you would forgive us for fretting, because it smolders anger, and there's absolutely no fruit of the Spirit in that whatsoever. So Lord, help us, teach us, show us what it looks like individually for us to delight ourselves in you. I just want to be silent for a moment. I encourage you to ask the Lord that silently. Lord, what does it look like for me to delight myself in you? Ask him that question and then listen. Pay attention to what you hear in your mind. Pay attention to what you see in your mind. Sometimes he speaks to us in images. Ask him that question. Father, enable us to do what you're telling us to do. We love you. And we want to love you with our lives. Thank you for the truth in this psalm. We've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their children begging for bread. Thank you, Jesus. May we meditate and fix our eyes on you and not everything that's clamoring for our attention all around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Supper. There's a lot of things going on at the Lord's Supper. Judas is betraying Jesus, and there's a whole lot going on. And John the Beloved was reclining on Jesus' breast. And Lord, that's what we want to be. Help us to be like the Beloved, John the Beloved. He even called himself the Beloved One. Lord, open our eyes that we may know how much you love us. And may we rest and rely on you. Benediction. Does this sound familiar? What does Jesus have to say about Psalm 37? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you, persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that we would be men and women that live our lives with a kingdom mindset, that this world is not our home, that we are just passing through, that you are going to make everything right. May we delight ourselves in you, and you will give us the desires of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.